Okay. Since Connie decided to say what she said, then I'm going to do something else. I'm going to officially say that Steve and Julie are part of the church. Is that correct? You would have to agree with that. All right, let me put it to you this way. Okay. Let me put it this way. There's been several of you, maybe many of you, I don't know, pray that they do that. And now you owe them. Now you owe them. You may think it's the other way around, but it is not. As you pray people in, as God brings people, you owe them. Do I need to add to that any? I talked about it a little earlier. You know, you need to owe them respect. You owe them your lifestyle being correct. Your prayers to hold them up that God will do in their lives. And I'm not just talking about Steve and Julie. I'm talking about anybody that comes that you God will allow you to work with them as they work with you. Amen? A church is not built on a few people. Church is like a transmission. All the gears are working or you don't go anywhere. Hallelujah. Let's treat that with some dignity and respect. All right, if you gentlemen will come forward. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give to you, to invest in the kingdom, and to expect a harvest. Let your harvest be revealed quickly, Lord, in souls and in lives and in provision. Bless the offering this morning, the gift and the giver. And for these things, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's a little Psalms the Lord put on my heart this morning. The pastors allowed me to read it to you. It came to me very, very strong this morning because I struggled most of the night in a struggle that the enemy loves to put on all of us if we allow him to. I want to encourage you this morning. I really want to encourage you. Boy, we need encouragement. Everything, almost it seems like everything out there is constantly trying to pull us down. You know, and the Lord is our comforter. He's our the one that girds us and makes us strong. So Psalm 73 is what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you quickly before the pastor comes to minister. No doubt about it, God is good. Good to good people. Good to the good-hearted. But I nearly missed it. Missed seeing His goodness. I was looking the other way. I was looking up to people at the top, envying the wicked who have it made, who have nothing to worry about, not a care in the whole wide world, pretentious with arrogance. They wear the latest fashions in violence, pampered and overfed, decked out in silk bows of silliness. They jeer using words to kill. They bully their way with words. They're full of hot air, loudmouths disturbing the peace. We actually listen to them. Can you believe it? Like thirsty puppies, we lap up their words. What's going on here? Is God out to lunch? Nobody's tending the store. The wicked get by with everything. They have it made, piling up riches. I've been stupid to play by the rules. What has it gotten me? A long run of bad luck, that's what. A slap in the face every time I walk out the door. I'd have given in and talked like this. If I would have done so, I would have betrayed your dear children and my own. Still, when I tried to figure it all out, all I ever got was a splitting headache. Until... Everybody say until. Say, well, until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I saw the whole picture. The slippery road you've put them on with a final crash in a ditch of delusions. In the blink of an eye, disaster. A blind curve in the dark. A nightmare. We wake up and rub our eyes, nothing. There's nothing to them, and there never was. When I was beleaguered and bitter, totally consumed by envy, I was totally ignorant, a dumb ox, in your very presence. I'm still in your presence, but you've taken my hand. You wisely and tenderly led me, and then you blessed me. You're all I want in heaven. You're all I want on the earth. When my skin sags and my bones get brittle, God is rock firm and faithful. Look, those who left you are falling apart. Deserters, they'll never be heard from again. But I'm in the very presence of God. Oh, how refreshing it is. I've made Lord God my home. God, I'm telling the world what you do. I'm not going to preach, Pastor is. But I'm going to say that I like what he asked me this morning, and he didn't put me on the spot. I just wasn't prepared to. It's a serious thing when things like that are spoken. But one thing I'm certain of, I can say without any doubt, I've made God my home. I have made God my home by His grace. And I wrestled through the night, quickly, a short word. I wrestled through the night because I leased a place the Lord led us to over here in, where are we? Lakewood, Colorado. And I've never leased for such a high amount, rental property, maybe purchased property, but not rental property. And there were quite a few things. It was amazing. I got in this situation. There were quite a few things that were out of order in this place that had such a high lease amount. You'd expect it in a lower place, and I ran into all these problems. And the people that were leasing the place to us were so arrogant and so pompous. And it so bothered me. The amount of money that I had to pay for that unit over there in Bear Creek, and I guess it's a big name over there or something, and their haughtiness and the way they served me, it got to me. I just got to be real with you. It got to me. I tossed and turned most of the night because, you know, anything out of order, I found it. You know, it took me about, you know, when you get in that way where you're upset by arrogance, you're upset by haughtiness, then all of a sudden you can find everything wrong with something. I was able to. I got a list this long, man. I wrestled through the night. What's my point in all this? As I was coming this morning to the Lord's house, the Lord just showed me something that's very real. Yeah, we have to deal with business in life. But if we set our eyes on the arrogant, if we set our eyes on those that attempt to steal from us, treat us wrong, if we put our eyes on those things, we will miss God. We will not only miss God, we will miss His goodness, we will miss His kindness, we will lose sleep, we will feel terrible, won't be able to worship. So when I came this morning, I knew that I had to look to God. And what's this sanctuary about? What do we come together for? We come together, honestly, in reality, to leave the crap behind us. Leave the crap and look to perfection. The God we worship. That's how we're able to worship. I mean, what a relief it is. And I want to sit down. I didn't come to preach. What a relief it is in this life to lift our eyes and our heart to the Lord God. It's a relief.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I will say this. Oh, children, you, I guess, are dismissed. There's people who look like they want you. Praise the Lord for that. Let me say this about a praise and worship. There are different people that are going to react different ways. Please, please. If the praise and worship part of the service, and I'm going to say this tongue in cheek, but if it bothers you, don't come until the word is preached. Okay? Now you may think that sounds a little crazy, but I'm just trying to say, don't worry about it. Let God move in your life. But I'm telling you, the people that show up here for praise and worship, God is going to put extreme pressure on me, and I'm going to pass it on. That we're going to move into a different type of praise and worship. And it's not going to be work. It's going to be fun. It's something that He's going to enjoy, and it's something we're going to enjoy. No condemnation, no conviction, no nothing about if you're not ready to go there, that's okay. But there are a few people here that have got their brakes on, and you need to get them off. Because I've seen you party other places. Praise the Lord. Is the tape on, Patrick? Praise the Lord. Then on this tape, I'm going to say something that number one, on January the 20th, I've told you before that I fire for effect sometimes. Sometimes maybe a little too much effect. But that was the day that I threw the book down. And this tape does go beyond these four walls. And I've had some questions about it, so I'm going to correct one statement. I'm not going to correct it. I'm going to explain it. I said that the Creator was created for the created. Is that correct? Anyway, here's what it caused. It caused a question of me wondering, or others wondering, that if I believe that God was a created being, the answer is no. I do not believe that God is a created being. But I will tell you this, there's no reason for us to go there because you can't understand that He's not a created being. Once again, I do not believe that God is a created being, but I think we need to get real about our belief system. We get a little bit too spiritual sometimes. We think we can explain and understand everything. One of the things you'll never explain to me is God not being a created being. Why? Because that's infinity, and you have a finite mind, and we cannot go there. One of the things I've finally gotten smart enough to understand is that I can talk beyond my ability. Church does that a lot. We talk beyond our ability to think. And so what I need to do is become that little child that talks to you and you talk to me on a level that we understand. So when I try to explain to you about God being from everlasting to everlasting, that's as far as I can take it. I can't take it any further than that. Because I don't know how to explain what I don't understand. So for us little children, I said to you that the Creator was created for the created. That didn't mean that we created Him or He was created. It just means I was trying to get into a level. Here's what I was trying to say. God loves us so much that He exists for us. God loves us so much that He exists for us. Would He exist without us? Yes. Just as I would exist without my wife. But it's not the desire of my heart, no more than it's the desire of God's heart. And to prove that, when evil overtook the earth, He still left a seed, a remnant. Noah and his wife and his children, because He did not want to be alone. You understand what I'm saying? God does have feelings. Don't put Him so far out there that He only has law. But He does have feelings also. Does that make sense to you? Okay. One other thing that I flew over when I was teaching about honor your father and your mother, I probably didn't point to my mother and father and honor them. I would not be in the faith position that I am in right now if it weren't for them. Does that make sense to you? Well, if it doesn't, I will say it. Most of what I trust and believe and the miracles that I've seen have come from what they taught me. And now all I'm doing is what I think is righteous, which is to build on that, to grow in that, and pass more of that on to my children and you. I do still believe that the best way to bring honor to your mother and father, physically and spiritually, is never bring dishonor. You want to bring honor to your friends? Never dishonor them. If you want to bring honor to yourself, never dishonor yourself. Never get staggering drunk so people can see you slobber, because that never brings honor to anything. If you just insist on getting drunk, do it in your bedroom, fall in bed, and don't make a fool of yourself. Because if you walk out that bedroom door, you're going to make a fool of yourself. Okay? Now that we got that cleared up, I got to get moving. I'm going to preach the last part of the Ten Commandments, no matter what. So put on your seatbelt. Okay. I'm going to quickly say to you again the Ten Commandments. I wrote on here, and I need to research this, but I'm going to tell you what I think God told me this morning. These are the keys to the kingdom. These are the keys to the kingdom. I wrote that right up there this morning because I felt like God impressed that on my heart. We're always searching for the keys of the kingdom, or to the kingdom. And we've got all these definitions when God Himself and what we've already studied says these are the keys to the kingdom. You want them? You teach them? You obey them? You write them on your walls? And remember, I will remind you, if nothing else, for my children's sake, that it says if you observe them, everybody you know and the nations will call you wise. Deuteronomy 4. The nations will say, and your friends will say to you, you have a great God. I'd like to know your God because He has such righteous judgments and statutes in your lives. That's what the Bible says. Keys to the kingdom. I've got to hurry. I can't go in detail. It commands you, in Deuteronomy 6, it commands you to teach them to your children. Teach them diligently to your children. Put them on the doorpost. In other words, you make sure all your guests know that you obey the Ten Commandments. And if they start breaking them, if they start cursing and they start lying and they do all those things, then you tell them, oh boy, that don't stand in my house. I'm teaching my children one day and I'm not going to allow you to teach them anything else. If necessary, I'll ask you to leave. I remember as a young person one time, I was invited to a party, and I went to this party, and I walked in there, and there, man, there was kids off in corners. I don't guess there was any supervision. kids off in corners making out, and somebody's over smoking a little marijuana. And I said, gotta go. Gotta go. Oh, we just got here. I said, yeah, we just going. The person that I was with, which you know well, didn't like that. Should have taken a hint right then. But I didn't care. You got to stand for something. It's time to go. Tell all your friends, not being here, this is the wrong place. They say you're a prude, you have all this kind of stuff. You say thank you and keep going. It says if you'll teach your children the Ten Commandments, God will give you large and beautiful cities which you do not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill. Jesus came along and said, I did not come to destroy this law. So don't try to cop out. It's still there. Now, we stopped last week on 5. What was number 5? See if anybody was paying attention. Huh? Number 5 is not murder. That's number 6. What was number 5? That's right. Honor your father and your mother. Okay. So we're going to begin today on number 6. Seems real simple. Thou shalt not kill. Well, if anybody did any studying the Bible at all, then we know that God killed. And he gave orders to kill. So what's wrong here? Well, you're understanding. Because God's always right. Can I just remind you of something? If you ever question the Word of God, there's something wrong with you, not the Word of God. Is there anything wrong to question the Word? Absolutely not. You question God about it all you want to. And He's got all the answers. But if you question God about His Word, you're wrong. You understand what I'm saying? It's one thing to go up to God and say, look, you lied here because I saw what you did. You are wrong. You can go to God in worship and you can say, God, I don't quite understand. I read this and I read this. Could you explain them to me? And He will. Totally different attitude. Exodus 20, verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. The word kill means murder. Thou shalt not murder. The Scripture never said, thou shalt not kill. We made it to say that. If it says, thou shalt not kill, then you better not eat any meat or any vegetables, no potatoes, because that would mean you had to kill it to eat it. Come on. Plants have life. If you pull them up and eat them, you killed them. Animals have life if you pull it up. I mean, if you chop their heads off and chow down, you're a killer. Well, God said, don't you... Remember when the sheet of meat came down or the big plate of food came down? And said, don't you call anything I made unclean. Let's don't go where we're not supposed to go. Just amazing to me that people that think there's life in animals, but I have to be a vegetarian because I can't take the life... doesn't understand that the same life is in the vegetables. Our fish. Why is the thinking messed up? Because they didn't ask God what He means about His rules. What do you mean? It says, thou shalt not murder. What is murder? Well, turn on your television. It'll explain right there what murder is. We call it premeditated. That means you decided to do it. You decided to do it for no just reason or cause. I take your life without a command of God, without of anything but a command of I want to. And you ought to know by now from Adam and Eve, when you say I want to, you've already disobeyed God. Because that's not what God wants to hear. It means to assassinate. That means to kill the life for something you felt strong about. An example would be, anybody want to help me with an example? That's murder? They're on the same road, the same vein there. Cain and Abel. What about Abraham? When he murdered his son. And he did, you know. In God's eyes, he killed his son. Now, the reason I brought that up is because sometimes God asks us to do something that we don't want to do. And in reality, if we're serving God, we should never want to take someone's life. Ever. Is that correct? We're here to give life, not take it. But what if we were Abraham and our whole promise was based on a son? And God says, kill it. See, he didn't say just go out and kill it. He said, offer him up a sacrifice. Offer him up as a sacrifice. If you'll look at all the places in the Bible where God commanded to go out and destroy the enemy, they were the same way. They were offering them up as a sacrifice to God. They were following God's command. So I'm not going to dwell on this very long, but I will say this. The next time God tells you to kill somebody, do it. The next time God tells you to kill somebody, do it. It's the only way you'll get by with it. When you say, I want to kill him, that's murder. Is that enough on that? We can go for a long time, but I don't think you need to hear this. I don't think you guys are really desiring to kill anybody, at least the last couple of minutes. That'd probably be good. Be better to run it by a few people and see if they can agree with you. And then if they agree with you, then ask them if they want to go with you. I will say this to you. You can murder somebody quicker with character assassination than any other way. So let's just don't talk about slitting their throats or shooting them in the head. Let's talk about our conversation. How many people have we killed or murdered with our conversation? We need to hold up each other, whether it be spouse, friend, brother, sister, or what. And if we don't hold them up, then the only thing we're doing is letting them fall or causing them to fall. And that would be murder in itself. Let's don't go there. Let's don't assassinate. That was one of the words I gave to you. Let's don't assassinate anyone with our conversation. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but God gave us the power to redo society, to bring them from death unto life with our words. And He also says we have the power to kill it with our words. He never gave you the power to say, all of you die, and they die. He doesn't give you a gun big enough to kill everybody. But He does give you a tongue big enough to do that. So when we talk about thou shalt not kill, since our laws pretty much guide what we should do there, why don't we apply them to our tongue? Would that be a good thing? All right. Let's move on. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And I'm going to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, we don't need the other 10. We got this one. If we get this one down, we don't need the other 10. Adultery. Apostatize. That's the definition, apostatize. What does that mean? That means you renounce your belief. Doesn't have anything to do with sex. It has to do with you announcing or turning back on what you believe to be right. That's adultery. Abandon your beliefs or principles. It also means breaking wedlock. Final, intimacy with another. Now, this is what I mean to tell you right here. If our relationship is right with God, the reason I want us to enter into worship more is because I will learn more about the Word of God in worship than any other time. Well, that, does that mean I don't have to study the Word? No, sir, that's not what that means at all. That means what words you have studied will become alive and real in worshiping God. That's what that means. You read your Bible. You mumble and complain, I read this thing all the time and I can't understand nothing. Then shut up and worship Him and watch what happens. Watch what happens. I dare you. If you've read the Bible before and you found it hard to understand, then give some time to God, looking in His face and asking Him for His heart in the matter. And watch it change. How many of you know that you're the bride of Christ? Intimacy with anyone else, any other God, is adultery. Obeying any other God, including self, is adultery. The church has wandered away from the strict bonds of marriage to Jesus Christ. The harsh, strict bonds of marriage to Jesus Christ. We've turned everything in the world, television, homeschool, reading books, working, studying, friendship, fun. We've turned all of those into an adulterous situation where they rival with Jesus Christ Himself. If Jesus were here and you had murder in your heart and you were close to Him, the murder would have to go. But the murder becomes adultery. Or that other person that you want to murder becomes adultery. The relationship is broken and you're free to do. Just like Adam and Eve were, you're free to do whatever you want to do. But the Bible says you're not to do that. So every promise in there now becomes a curse. That's why I said if we can get this one down, we don't have to worry about the others. Our love for Jesus Christ, our adoring Him, our serving Him, our loving Him, the only marriage bed, the only importance, the only, He is the only voice in my life. We'll take care of the rest of it. Are you hearing me? He is the only voice in my life. I will have no other lover or other voice in my life. Anything that doesn't sound like His voice, it says my bride will know my voice. That means the bride knows when it's not His voice too. Well, I've tried. No. Let me say it to you again. The bride knows the difference between the bride's voice and Jesus' voice. We give Satan way too much power. We ought to forget him for a while. Because he's not your enemy. Your own voice is your enemy. And we've talked about this. Stop making you as important as your groom. Because that's another voice. What you want doesn't make any difference. Why doesn't it make any difference? Because what he wants is better than what I want. This is not a contest of what is good. Because it's already established. What Jesus said is good. What I say is bad. Come on. Put them up side by side. You just talk all you want to, and then you listen to what Jesus says and see which one makes the most sense. Just see which one you trust the most if you'll give them equal time. See which one sounds like it'd be the better way. See, the one thing that all of us are blessed with that call themselves the bride of Christ is the best spouse in the entire universe. One that we can totally trust, that I can go and ask for advice, and that spouse gives me 100% correct advice. And guess what? I don't have to argue with him. It doesn't even pass my thought process to say, you know what, I better think about that. What is your belief? What is adultery? It's renouncing your belief or turning your back on your belief. What is your belief? Is God right? Yes. Always. Good? Yes. Always. Can be trusted? Always. If I ask Him, He's going to give me the truth always. Don't ever turn your back on that. And there will not be any adultery. See, it don't make any difference about sex anymore. There is no woman prettier than this one. There's no woman more desirous than this one. Because I remember what God said. First off, He said He gave me to her. So now I know it's the best. Right? I don't have to go shopping. I don't even have to compare her to anybody. I just know it's real. Now what if we just get that smart about all the rest of our relationships? Well, God gave me Harry for a friend. Now what right have I got to question God? Do you think my flesh is always going to agree with that? No more than His. We're not, our relationship is not based on what our flesh says. It's what God does. No adultery here. No adultery. I trust my Lord. I trust Him. Don't turn your back on that belief. Number 8, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. I want to look at this right quick. Steal means to thieve. The second definition is to deceive. Thou shalt not deceive. From the time you were born, you were taught not to steal. Right? We don't really need to talk about that too much. That's the reason I'm just going to go past it. If you don't know it by now, it's time for our legal system to teach you something. That's what the Bible says, man. If you don't want to follow Him, then we'll turn it over to the law, men. So what we're interested to do is what it's meaning to us, to do not steal. It means do not deceive. Do not deceive. Do not carry away. Do not get by stealth. Here's a good one. Do not remove anything from another without their giving it to you. I'm not even to walk into your house and pick up a piece of candy that's in a candy bowl unless I know you've already given it to me. Not a quarter off the table. Nothing. You know what else I'm not to do? I'm not to come to you and say, you know what, I'm not. Yeah, I know you want me to do that, but you know, I've got this other appointment when I don't have it. I'm not to try to get you to do something by trickery. That would be deceiving. That goes against the commandment, thou shalt not steal. I'm not supposed to go over here to Johnny and try to convince him to do something because it profits me and not him. We got to watch in our sales ability. Because one of the things that God gives, when He gives anointing, He gives sales ability. As many preachers hadn't figured out that they're the best salesmen there are, and they don't watch that carefully. How do you sell? How does a Christian sell? By telling the truth. Therefore, he sells the truth. And he doesn't deceive. Preacher doesn't get up in the pulpit and says, you know what? The missionaries on the field are starving to death. And the children are starving. And we take an offering. And we give 50% of it. The church holds 50 and gives 50. You understand what I'm saying? We don't deal dishonestly. We do exactly what we say. Now listen, we're not perfect. Let me say it the best way I can. We try to do exactly what we say every time we say it. And if it don't turn out that way, it wasn't because we didn't mean it to. You shall not remove anything from anyone. For some reason on television, we've got a move on the screen that shows it's all right to literally take sex from anybody that walks around because I want it. And it's even gone into date rape and all kinds of weird things. Why? Because we forgot the Ten Commandments. We forgot that thou shalt not steal. And it's all right for high school boys to go out and try to see how much they can score. And then try to kill by destroying the reputation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants something out of us a whole lot more than rules and regs. He wants us to bring honor to Him in our very lifestyles and how we talk and how we speak. I'm going to go one step further, and then I got to move on. I have no right to be politically correct with you if it makes you think anything except what's in my heart. If I try to get along with you by hiding the truth, I am stealing from you. I am deceiving you in believing that I'm okay with this. Jesus called it lukewarm. It's going to make me sick. How many times have you ever had God beat around the bush when He talks to you? Try to be politically correct so that it's hard to understand what He's even saying. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to talk to somebody and you want to use the heart of God to do it, which should be your supreme desire, then you'll say it like He says it. If He's smiling when He says it, you'll smile when He says it. But let me tell you something. You'll understand it. You may not when it's first said to you, but you will if it's from God. You will understand it. Sometimes when He wants to be point blank, then we need to be point blank. Or we're stealing the truth from the people. When we don't stand up for something in our lifestyle, we steal from them. All of these, I'm not going to move real fast. I want you to hear me. When our lifestyle doesn't reflect the truth, we steal from others that are watching. We steal the opportunities that they have with God. Is that enough on that one? Let's go to the next one. These are all kind of tied together. Number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Well, my first question is, what do you mean against thy neighbor? It's all right against somebody else? So why don't I just say this? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Bear. To eye. To heed. To pay attention. To respond. To speak. To shout. To testify. To announce. To afflict. To answer. To utter an answer. To receive an answer. All of those are the definitions of bear. Ooh. Mm. I always thought it meant what I said. No, part of the answer was receive. Now come on, I'm going to put something on y'all if you'll let me for a second here. All of a sudden it moves out of the realm of what I say into what I say and what I hear. Come on, bear. Where did we get the idea that it was only what we spoke? When bear means to carry. We are not to bear false witness. That means I have an obligation that if somebody is speaking something that I think could be deadly to them or harmful to them, I am to respond. I'm not supposed to just keep it in me. Now, all of a sudden, the neighbor, it gets to make more sense. You and I, whoever I run into, I don't tell you anything that's false. And if you tell me something that's false, I'm going to call you on it. Now, I tell you something is false, you're going to call me on it. We're going to stand up for something. And we're not going to bear false witness. Somebody comes to me and talks to me about you, I'm going to say, uh-uh. No, 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 no. No. Don't you know the commandments? Well, wait a minute. I'm telling you the truth. Did you tell them? Because if you're going to steal it from them, don't try to give it to me. That's false. You got something you want to say? Let's say it to that person. Don't bear false witness. Don't afflict me with your opinions about something. And I won't afflict you. Let's say this. You don't make me believe something wrong, and I won't make you believe something wrong. Now we'll obey this commandment. We don't call each other up because somebody's moving. And we say, oh, my back hurts me. Well, it was hurting you yesterday too. So what? You just wanted them to feel sorry for you when you knew you could help them move and you just didn't want to do it. I'm going to be late this morning. It's because one of my dogs got out. No, it's because you got up late. Why don't you just tell me the truth? If you always have these calamities every Sunday morning, it just means that you're not getting up early enough. So allow for the dog getting out. I bet you allowed for eating something. I bet you allowed for brushing your teeth, combing your hair. But you made provisions for that. So don't put on me false junk, and I won't put it on you. And then we'll both obey that commandment. What's false mean? It means an untruth or a half-truth. It means something without cause or true purpose. Deceive, vanity, disappoint, cheat, deal falsely with. So what is the truth? It's 100%. What is false? Less than 100%. False is less than 100% truth. If you don't think that's a hard standard, you just start thinking about it. That's a tough standard. I don't want to talk to you right now. I'm busy. The first part of that was okay. The second part was false. The first part, I don't want to talk to you. Leave it at that. Don't mess up a good reason with a bad excuse. You don't want to talk right now? Just say, I don't want to talk right now. Can I call you a little bit later? Don't tell me, I got my finger or my toe stopped in the tub spout. I got it caught in the tub spout. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear it. Anything except 100% truth is false. Do not bear false witness. That's a testimony, a record. Give evidence. Duplicate, repeat, or charge. Do not repeat something you're not supposed to say. Do not give charge to somebody that they don't deserve it, or even maybe even they do deserve it. Do not make a record of. Do not make a record of. One of the most powerful things, scriptures in the Bible, says that you can ask anything. You can pray to your Father and you can ask anything. But they don't read the rest of it. It says, but if you have aught against anyone, get it cleared up. Then I'll answer your prayers. What is aught? It's a record. A witness is a record. It doesn't mean you have to go speaking something all the time. It just means you got something in here you're not going to let go. It can be either one, understand. I can shoot my mouth off all the time and try to kill, try to murder. But what if I'm totally silent? Somebody walks up and says, what do you think about Steve? I'm going, well, What did I say? Did you know I just lied to you? I answered you. I made you believe something. What did I just make you believe? There's doubt in there, isn't there? In fact, what I did is I just opened the gate for any kind of accusation you want to fill in the blank for. Because I didn't tell you 100% truth. I'd rather you just say, I don't like him. Now I just say, so? So? But you say, well. And I've just opened up everything. I've just given false witness. Because I didn't stand for something. Jesus said, be hot, be cold, but don't be lukewarm. Don't carry something inside. But you don't know what that brother did to me a few years ago. You got a record. You want Jesus to erase your record, but you don't want to erase other people's records. When it says against your neighbor, what does it mean? An associate, a brother, a companion, a friend, a husband, a lover, an enemy. Did you know it included an enemy in there? A neighbor is an enemy. You know why they finally threw that word in there? Just so you wouldn't have any place else to go. There's no reason in the world to carry a record. There's no reason in the world to try to kill somebody with that record. There's no reason to commit adultery to the one that wrote the law and told you not to do it. Plain enough? I think I've added a couple of aspects to these commandments that were important for us to understand. One of the things that God commands us when we go to Him is not to have blood on our hands. Don't have blood on your hands. Don't even get caught with blood on your hands. If I ask you, if you ask me about Steve, it would be better to say, it is none of my business. What are you doing asking me? Then, well, because now I've got blood on my hands. Well, you don't know what he did to me. Let's keep it that way. You've heard me say that before. You want to know what he did to me? No. No. Because I doubt if you know anyway. Usually if we've been stunned or hurt, we're the most ignorant of the bunch. Because we're looking at it totally wrong. Totally bad perspective. Right? I mean, our perspective is warped. We'd be better off listening to somebody else than ourselves. All right, number 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is in thy neighbor's, that is thy neighbor's. What does covet mean? I found this interesting that the first definition is to delight in. To delight in. To delight in. God can help us with these, with all of these commandments. You know that? I don't want to try to put this on your shoulders like this is all our stuff. We got to be big, bad, strong and make it happen. God wants to make this happen in our lives if we'll just honor that these are the things that He needs to make happen. These are the things we write on the wall so we can say when we see Him wrong or we're missing Him, we can say, God, help! To delight in. Can I ask you something? Is there anything in your life that you delight in more than God? Is sleep a heavy contender? Those Krispy Kreme donuts? Those pineapple pies? That neighbor across the street, man, his wife looks better than mine. I think I'd rather watch her than mine. That car he's got. I'd give my left little toe to have that car. Boat. fish. He caught a bigger fish than I did. I got to go. I'm just throwing out funny things because they sometimes cease to be funny if we're not careful. There's nothing wrong with looking over there and drooling a little bit. I've seen dogs drool at chocolate chip cookies. And they can't break the commandment. So I'm not talking about something that's just kind of natural. You know, a viper comes pulling up my driveway, you just drool just a little bit. But you don't start instantly setting out how to beat him out of it. Or you don't go kick your car in the tire because it didn't meet up to that standard. Come on, if the devil can find a place in your life here, he'll put it in. He'll make your kid look dumber than the next. So you can just envy that a little bit. I'm not going to say what's in my mind, I'll tell you that. I'm telling you that God has His hand on our lives. If we trust Him, we have no excuse to envy. Because He's given us exactly what we can handle at this time. You shall not covet. You shall not delight in, desire, lust, think it more pleasant, value, count as precious. Let me give you a real simple one. And I don't want you to base your life on this because it could turn into something funky here, but I don't ever want to wish I had something that you have without wishing you had something better. That make sense to you? If I see something that I like that you have, it's all right for me to say, God, I'd like to have that, but please give him something better. You know why you say that? To keep your heart clean, pure. You remember that you pray for other people. You shall not covet. Delight in, desire, or lust thy neighbor's house. What does the house mean? Family, property, children. Gets detailed. Door. What's a door? That's right. The entrance, the opening that he's got. For instance, many people stand and they see a man of God praying or crying or laying hands on him. What's the first thing they want to do? They want to lust after that. Shows in the Bible. Guy says, how much would that cost me? I got some money here. Can you sell that to me? Made God mad. You remember that, don't you? When the guy desired for the gifts? Don't delight in or lust for the opening or the place that God has for you, me, or anyone else. The Bible says there's nothing wrong to desire gifts. Don't desire His gift. You can desire relationship with God. Don't desire my relationship with God. You can desire a wife, Bill, but don't desire my wife. Does that make it more understandable what I'm trying to say? Nothing wrong with desiring a wife. That's a good thing, the Bible says. Or a husband. But don't desire mine or hers. That's a bad thing. Whatever you seek, seek it directly from God for you so that everybody can be blessed. Don't try to take from one and give to the other so nobody's blessed. The dwelling place. The house is the body. Do I need to go very far there? Don't covet the neighbor's body. Don't covet his money, his looks, his walk with God, his position, his voice, his mental ability. I'm telling you something. When you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you really don't want anything anybody else has got. Because you don't figure you got the best. Come on. Don't sit there and snicker at me. I'm telling you the truth. I don't want nothing you have. I already got the best. And I'm trying to be honest with you. I'm not trying to make you laugh at me. I don't want your looks. I'm the prettiest. I don't want your wife. I got the prettiest. I don't want your car. I got the best. Don't want your kids. I got the best. And I have the best grandkids. Now, I'm telling you, an honest, open, praise God heart, why would I think any different? How could I think any different? And if I did think any different, I may be breaking one of the Ten Commandments, so I better get away from there. When God tells me to be at peace, He means it. He means it. And if I can think of all these things that you got that I need, I'm not at peace. Quotation from my granddad one time. I think he went shopping, which he didn't like to do very much. And, you know, he walked into those big stores and he said, "You know something? I am so glad that I don't want everything that I see." That's peace. That's knowing who you are. I don't have to buy one more thing to get more important or to be more acceptable. You know, my house is my house. Yours is yours. I'm not going to put one more little trinket to make you happy. If I'm happy with it, same thing at your house. If I'm happy with it, everybody else has to be. If you don't like what I got here, well, stay away. Stay away. 100% truth, right? Don't delight in. Covet, don't delight in. Can I tell you this takes away from pride or pulls away? See, the other side of that is we always talk about it, lusting after what somebody else has have, what somebody else has. Covet is also I delight in. You know what I got? You know how much money I got in the bank? You know who I know? I had dinner with so-and-so the other day. And I was talking to old so-and-so the other day, and I told him, I'm taking delight in something that God's doing. So now I'm going to flip the picture. It's not just a matter of if I go out there and look at Mike's Corvette. Oh. You know what I do when I see Mike? In all honesty, I wish he had what I had. I want him to have what I have. I'll be honest with you. I don't, right now in my heart, I don't want anything that I've seen anybody have. But I got some things I'd like for them to have. And I'm not going to delight in that according to the word covet. I'm going to think that this is one gift that I can give away and never lose. In fact, the Bible promises the more that I give it away, the more blessed that I am. If I have the mind of Christ, I understand that. If I've got a mind of the flesh, I want what Steve has, and I want what Bill has, and I want what I want. And so I can go to bed tonight expecting to dream about what somebody else has. What's wrong with that? It accomplishes nothing except causes turmoil in me. I don't want what my neighbor has, and you know what else? I don't want to present myself to make that other person stumble and covet after what I've got. And I'll fulfill the 10th commandment. The New Testament was not a changing of the Old Testament formula. It was a restatement and an explaining of Jesus talking in parables. That doesn't mean circles. That means in ways we can understand. And it means in Jesus' lifestyle explaining the Ten Commandments. I am sorry for those in the Old Testament that didn't have Jesus and His lifestyle. Because they couldn't read how Jesus handled situations. and how he moved in power and authority without causing people to covet. Because he gave all glory to God. And if I've got something more than somebody else, I need to give God the glory so they know where to go to get it. If they come to me and say, "Can I ask you how you did this?" You say, "God." You don't say, "Well, when I was a little boy." Oh, please. The story is already too long. Just say, "God." God. "Well, I need a better explanation." I don't have one. I can show you in the Scripture where it says if you'll obey the Ten Commandments, that's a good start, but I didn't write them. You need to talk to the guy that did. In Matthew it says, you're not to worry. Did you know worry is breaking the Ten Commandments? Because to worry, you have to have something to worry about, and that's placing that equal to or above God. Don't worry at all about having enough food or clothing. Why be like the heathen? For they take pride in all these things and are deeply concerned about them. But your Heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them. And He will give them to you if you give Him first place in your life and live as He wants you to. That's the Ten Commandments. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. How much is left over? All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. What's left over? This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen. If you think that negates the Ten Commandments, you try doing these and see if it misses one of the ten. You do these and you won't miss one of the ten. Now, listen to this. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophetic or the prophets. You got the picture now? What's the picture? The Ten Commandments, the Two Commandments, everything else, including all prophets. I'm going to tell you one of the things God's doing right now and is going to continue. The prophetic is going to get cleaned up. It's going to get cleaned up. And it's going to be hung on the Ten Commandments. And the two that says, God, your neighbor. Sure is quiet in here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The prophetic has been hoard. You want me to get honest? It's been a bunch of whoredoms. The prophetic has been used to build churches, to build bank accounts, to build people. Prophetic has been to build other people and the prophetic people. It's been used for everything except bringing people into understanding the Ten Commandments. And yet Jesus said all of it's going to be hung on the Ten Commandments. Went to a church for a little while and every new guest that came in, there was a fantastic prophetic word from the preacher. Oh, was it good. Most of it was crud. But it was good. Why was it given? Did the man have a prophetic ability? Absolutely he did. He could not only speak it, he could see it. But he was breaking the Ten Commandments because he was using it to build his church. Prophetic is used to build a kingdom, not this church. It's to build the individual in the kingdom. It's to cause direction and correction. But it is not used to make people feel good. Why? Because the commandments weren't made to make people feel good. It was to make them live good, not feel good. The prophetic is to make them live good, not feel good. And what I don't mean that live like a hard life. I'm talking about a good life. You can look at somebody... You can look somebody with a prophetic word and you can say something as harsh as that, if you'll stop that, I won't even look, if you'll stop that adultery, God will bless your life. Now, if you think that's a good word, be caught. Be the one that that word's spoken to. But you know what? It's a tremendous word because it delivers you from death into life, from sin into salvation. That's what the prophetic is going to be hung on. We got to. It's got to be. It's got to bring people into righteousness and holiness, which is what the Ten Commandments do. Obeying God and His law are formulas for success, guarantees life, abundance, joy, health, respect, envy from those that do not obey, and His presence, which is the reason for living. The commandments are a gift from God for our success. The commandments are a gift from God. That's don't turn away from them or run from them. I'm going to read them one more time. They're the keys to the kingdom. I took different versions. Listen, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Number three, you shall not use the name of Jehovah your God irreverently. Number four, remember to observe the Sabbath day as a holy day. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you must not lie. Number 10, you must not be envious of your neighbor's house or his wife or anything else. Don't be envious. Right quickly, let me read you the Ten Commandments again. You have more than enough with me. You don't need any other gods. I'll outshine anything that you thought ever shone. Number two, you don't need an idol. You have the real thing. This is God's promise. You don't need statues. You don't need squat. You don't need nothing. You got me. Here I am. Number three, why don't you just use my name correctly? See where it gets you. Teach your children. Number four, I did something for you that will bless you more than you can imagine. I gave you a special day for you and I. How about a date? How about a date? God says, how about a date? Get on your duds, meet me at church, I'll hold your hand. I'll hold your hand. Number five, honor me. And I'll make your parents so proud they can't hardly stand it. Number six, I'll do all the killing you need done. I'll do all the killing you need done. Don't you worry about it. Number seven, if you can handle me, you won't have time for nobody else. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Why should you worry about thou shalt not? He's more than you can handle. Just try him. He'll run you ragged. You won't be running him ragged. Number eight. You won't need to steal. I'll give you so much you'll have to give it away. Why don't we look at it, what God really means? Let's look at His heart instead of the law. Number nine. All you have to do is testify of me, You won't have any time to say anything else. You shall not lie. Don't worry about lying. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. God promises to make you so abundant that if you just talk about Him, you won't have any time to lie. Number 10. They will be envious of you. They will be envious of you if you just keep your eyes in your own sockets. Just walk in the presence of God and you watch people want what you have. Good interpretation of the Ten Commandments? Now I want you to write them on your heart and your walls, and write them on your children's heart and your grandchildren's heart. Stand for something, man. Stand for something. Teach them the way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful that God put on my heart to study this, because it sure has helped me. This would have been a real good time for you to say amen, because that would have made me feel good. If for nothing else, it would have made me feel good. Praise God. I don't have to worry about law. Thank you, Lord. Stand with me. I don't have to worry about law. Why don't you just say that out loud? I don't have to worry about law. I have God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. God wants more for you than you got now. He wants more for me than I have now. Praise you, Lord. But what He wants most is that relationship that requires the purity. Unlike anything the world has known, that when you know your heart's clear, it's a clear pathway to God. The heavens are open and He hears. You don't have to prove it by signs and wonders. God is the sign and the wonder. Hallelujah. Let Him be responsible for what follows you. He wants from us a bride without spot or wrinkle. Without spot or wrinkle. He told us in His Word that He gives us dominion over our flesh that wants to go the wrong way. Over other people's flesh that wants to lead us a wrong way. And all we have to do is trust that God is in my heart and in control. We need to stop questioning. We just need to trust God. Hallelujah. Anybody have anything they need to pray about this morning? I will believe with all my heart that everybody in here is praying, God, I want to be closer to You. But if you feel like there's anything specific that you want the body to pray with you or for you about, now's the time. If you need to make an open show of a need, that's fine. If not, God knows.
I need everybody to believe that this house will go through the and I won't have to make two moves. And that God would put it together so that we can, that at the time will work out just fine, so that we're not in the And I'm just trusting God to do that.
What you're doing, you're trusting that that's His will. No, I'm being serious now. You're trusting that that's His will.
Yeah, I don't think He wants it. I think that I'm standing in faith for that, and He's going to honor that. That's what I mean.
Well, then it's within His will. I'm saying it to try to make us think, that's all. You know what? I am success-oriented. How about y'all? You want to succeed in everything you do?
Yeah.
If that's the case, then we need to be cautious about what we enter into agreement with. I'm not trying to steer away from this prayer because I want to agree with her. But as we ask for prayer and as we agree for prayer, let's be cautious. It's a couple of questions we ought to ask. Is it God's will? Is it within God's will? And they're pretty easily answered. I don't think there's anything out of the will of God that she just asked. It seems sane. It seems rational. It seems in order. So why don't we in Jesus' name agree with her right now, and then you keep her up in prayer in that, okay? Oh, you don't know. We prayed last week. We prayed last week that he would have rest and peace, and you would too. More than that, the presence of God would overshadow him. And what? What's wrong? Well, in Jesus' name, we just pronounce by our faith that as you go, you're going to be a shining example. You're going to be healthy, and the doctor's going to ask you, how can you be so healthy? That'd be okay? That would bring honor to the kingdom for you to walk in health. And I agree that we... Did everybody agree with that in Jesus' name? Whatever that is, it's if there's an attack, it's gone. And in its place, a testimony.
Amen.
Stanley, I
want to
bring my sister up here and ask the congregation to pray for our prayer to well, my sister has here, but it worries me. She's got a growth. And I hope it's not...
Yeah.
No, the doctor said that he feels good about it, but I'm just standing in faith that God can heal me and remove what the enemy, you know.
Yes.
Somebody want to come up and lay hands on her? Father, what we know is that you love her more than we love her. That you care about this more than she even cares about it. Now for your honor and for your glory and for those that have a hard time believing you for this purpose alone, touch her right now. Growth be gone in Jesus' name. God, you said we have the ability to command it would happen, so we command this to cease and desist its activity and its attack. We don't care what the doctor calls it. We call it dead at the roots and gone.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. And we now give you praise and glory and honor that it is completed. Not by our word, but by the word of Jesus Christ when he said, it is finished.
Amen.
It is finished. It's done. And we fully intend to hear the testimony of this sister and even from the doctor of the amazing power of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Sister Queen. God bless you.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Guys.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay. I think, go ahead.
My grandma asked for prayer. My Uncle Walter had two major strokes. And he needs prayer. And then my cousin in West Virginia just had a baby. And they found a blood clot on the mom's brain. And so those two are my other aunt ended up passing away last night too. Just for those that prayed, we prayed that God would release her. That's a good thing. So the enemy is really attacking my family as we're doing right now. And God wants to go and move on of my family.
Yeah.
Okay, some of you that know more what she's talking about, why don't you just pray for her? Come on, pray it out loud and get it done.
Mother,
you're Praise the Lord. While they are ending that prayer, I will say to the for those of you that know what I'm talking about, Sunday night, the business that we discussed, the opportunities here, let's take advantage of it according to the will of God. Pray for success in all areas. Amen? Okay. All hearts clear. I know that Steve has a word. Somebody raise their hand. You want to, I don't know if he needs this mic or not, but.
Well, maybe Barry, is this recording?
Just yes, so it can be judged. Barry, the Lord says to say to you that thank you for looking to Him. Thank you for your heart turning to Him the way it has in recent months. The Lord has used your wife and He's used other people. The Lord says you're a steadfast man. That means that when you see a course that you're convinced of, you stay the course. And the Lord says, stay the course. The Lord said He's used others to sort of prop you up and get you pointed in the right direction. And He's been revealing truth to you. But the Lord says, Barry, be careful, because some in My house, whom I love, could stumble you by their actions. The Lord says, I love them in spite of them. So the Lord says, I give them room. And you're a man that doesn't care for much foolishness. And the Lord says, that's good. The Lord says, stay the course. Don't let others stumble you from Him. Stay in the course with your face fully pointed towards the Lord Jesus. The Lord says, Barry, learn of Me, for I am a man who has great strength and authority, always under control. The Lord says, learn of Me, for I am humble. And the Lord says, learn of Me, Barry. I have an assignment for you. I have a purpose for you. I have a specific place that you're traveling to. The Lord says, I'm going to continue to prosper you, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And the Lord says, the day will come. This is not a mystery. The Lord isn't teasing you. The day will come when you'll fully understand your purpose in the kingdom of God and in your relationship with Christ. He will reveal purpose to you. And you're a man that's driven by purpose. And the Lord says your purpose that drives you now is normal. It's living. It's taking care of your wife, taking care of business, that sort of thing. But God's going to expand your purpose as you continue to mature in relationship with Him. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Your purpose is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger with the Lord as your co-laborer. The Lord says you will learn of Him through your work. Now, the Lord shows me a yoke. It says in the Scripture, come and learn of Me, for My yoke is easy, My burden light. A yoke is, you enter in a yoke, you know what it is, an oxen, a yoke. I see a picture of the Lord in you, and the Lord is you in the yoke. And you'll know when you're sort of having a hard time, depending on which part of your neck is chafed. If this part of your neck starts to burn, you're running ahead of God. If the back part starts to hurt you a little bit, you're running behind Him, okay? Or maybe the reverse. Did I say that correctly? Anybody hear that? In other words, you'll know where you're going. You'll be rough in this area right here. When I say the neck, what I mean is that's the place where God sets His authority. When you start getting stubborn, okay, and demanding your way, you'll know that you're chafing against the yoke that you have with Jesus. But when you're walking in peace and you've got clear direction, everything's fine. When you feel like those that walk with God and your wife at times, even though she may not even know what she's doing, has to pull you and pull you, that's when you're resisting. You got the skids out. You're resisting God. So the Lord says you're a stable man, and He is a stable man. So be encouraged, Barry. You're right on course. The Lord just wanted to commend you today and say thank you.
Praise the Lord. It's a good word. Good word. I hope I'm as blessed to have that word. All hearts clear now. We're going to go. Father, we praise You today. Kind of a strange feel that I've had in action and everything else. Just a strange day, and I thank You for it. I thank you that we don't have to form fallowed ground, and if we do, you break it up for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your concern. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the direction in our life, and thank you for our wanting to follow all of these desires you have given us. Thank you for filling the church. Thank you for filling the slots that we are so in desperate need of. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the good. Thank you for the bad that are going to turn good. Thank you for it all, Lord. Thank you. We exalt you today with all of our hearts, with all of our words, with all of our life. Use what we've learned here today by the Holy Spirit to change, to heal, to direct, to correct, to expand, to create more love and more power. With all of our hearts, we trust you. We ask you and thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Gentlemen, if you'll take care of the business, and we'll still have to load up in a few minutes.